Rachel, good evening. Good to see you all tonight. How many of you are glad you're in here and not out there right now? Yeah, amen. Man, it is hot. Amen. It seems like the last couple summers that I've been here have not been too awful bad, but I remember the summers when we had the camp in July and when we had continual 102, 104 days and everything. We moved it back to June because of that. But, man, it's hot out there. It's going to be that way for a while, too. So it's good to be inside in the air conditioning. Amen. And it's good to see y'all. Good to be home for a few days. We're just in for until Saturday and back out again. I've had some people ask me, and I wanted to update and let everybody know that we did get the transmission replaced. And Brother Jacob helped us to be able to get that done. I thank the Lord for him and for the church. And for what you all did to help us with that. It's pretty difficult for evangelists to travel without a vehicle. So we sure do thank you. And you all are just a tremendous blessing to us. We've been out of a couple different churches in the ministry. And I just sent a letter to preacher today that he'll get when he comes back. But as I said in the letter to him, I've never been in a church, never been a member of a church that has been so kind and taking such good care of us as you all have. And I thank the Lord for you. And thank the Lord for the friendships that we have here also. But it's good to be here tonight. I want to try to give you something this evening, hopefully that'll be something you can use. But it'll challenge you, I guarantee you, because it challenged me as I was going through it. And I'm sure it will be something that maybe you'll want to ponder for a while, but hopefully it'll help you some. What happened was I prepared this message about a month or so ago, and preacher had asked me what I was going to be preaching on the weekend that I was going away for the Father's Day weekend. And I said, well, I said, you know, it's a message. I said, I might preach it here next time I preach. And he goes, what is it? I said, well, it's a message I titled Why David Was a Man After God's Own Heart. He said, well, it's a good thing you're not preaching before me Sunday, because that's what I'm preaching on Sunday. So I'm not going to preach his message, whatever his message was. But I told him what my thought was. And he said, oh, that's totally different than mine. But hopefully it'll be something, again, that will challenge us. Look at, if you would, in Acts chapter 13, and we're going to read down through some verses here, beginning in we'll start in verse 13, Acts chapter 13, and beginning with verse number 13. And it says this, now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John departing from them returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if ye have any word or of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with an high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. He's rehearsing the history of the Jewish nation here. It says, and after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years and until Samuel the prophet. And afterwards they desired a king. And God gave unto them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. And we're talking about David here tonight, and boy, what a man David was, a man after God's own heart. The lineage, the earthly lineage of our Savior, Jesus Christ, came down through David. Over in 1 Kings chapter 15, there's a statement made about him back in the Old Testament, and it says this in verse number 3 of chapter 15, it says, and he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father. So here it tells us that David's heart was perfect with the Lord. Now, some people say, well, wait a minute. There's nobody perfect. There's no sinless perfection in this life. Of course there's not. But what it's saying there, what it means there, that word perfect simply means complete. It means that David's heart was complete in the Lord. And I don't believe that you'll find anybody in the scriptures that was any closer to the Lord than what David was. David was a man after God's own heart. And what I want to do is I want to share with you one of the reasons why I believe that. There's many reasons. Preacher gave you a bunch of them on Father's Day, but I'm going to give you one thought tonight, and we're going to do a little Bible study and go through some passages of scripture. But I truly believe that this one thought is one of the reasons why God looked at him as a man after his own heart. Let's bow for a word of prayer and we'll jump into it. Lord, I thank you for the privilege to be here tonight. And I do pray that you'd help me to be a blessing, a help and encouragement to these people that we love so dearly. Thank you for being home and being able to be home tonight, Lord. I pray that you bless our preacher as he's away at the youth conference and all the teenagers that are there. Lord, do a work in their heart and life, Lord. And God, tonight, would you just meet with us in a special way? Help me to say only what you want me to this evening, Lord. And I pray that you'd be lifted up. We'll be careful to give you the glory for what you do, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Now, the reason that I want to give you tonight, why I believe one reason why David was a man after God's own heart is simply this. Because of the way that he dealt with the injustices of life. Boy, this is a tough one. It's tough when we're treated unjustly. It's tough when we go through injustice in our life. The flesh wants to take control immediately. That's what we want to do. But as we look at David, we see a pattern in David's life where he handled the injustices that came to him the same way. We'll jump right into it. I'll show you. Look with me, if you would, 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. We're going to look at David here when he was first called out, when he was first anointed by the Lord. We're just going to read some verses on down through here. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse number 12, it says this. It says, and he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and with all of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. This is talking about David. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. So we see that from that time when he was called out, the last brother called out and brought in, God said to Samuel, this is the one, anoint him, this is the one. And so he anointed him that day and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. If we look over in chapter number 18, we see this now. Things begin to happen and a division begins to happen between him and the king. In chapter 18, verse number 5 says, David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Now, if you remember what's happened, David has been brought in, and David has played music for the king and everything to soothe his spirit. And so he's been brought in and beside the king here. But it says in verse 6, it came to pass as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Well, right away, the king gets very upset. Why? Because all of a sudden, now David, this young boy that he's brought in, who, by the way, had guts enough to stand up and slay the giant, amen, and trust God for doing that. But now Saul is at odds with him. And the very next verse tells us this. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. I mean, from that day forward, the king had a beef with David. So how are you going to handle the injustices that happen from authority? Injustices happen in life, and sometimes it's authority figures that treat us unjustly. Amen. It's all right. As Brother Gearish used to say, you can nod your little heads. That's all right. Amen. We go through these things in life, but how are we going to deal with them? As we continue to read on a little bit further in verse number 14, it says, "And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him." If you know what happens in chapter 19 is when Jonathan helps David and helps to save him from the hand of Saul. Chapter 20 and 21, he goes to Ahimelech to the priest there, and as he's on the run from Saul because Saul's trying to kill him. And then chapter 22, the same thing. Chapter 23, David's at Keilah because he goes there because he inquires of the Lord, and the Lord tells him to go there and fight the Philistines, and so he did. But Saul came after him, and amazing how we can be away from the Lord and yet somehow still think God's on our side. And Saul thought that in chapter 23 and verse number 7 says, "It was told Saul that David was come to Keilah, and Saul said, God hath delivered him into mine hands, for he is shut in by entering into a town that hath gates and bars." Amazing. God wasn't nowhere near Saul at this point in time. God had already anointed David to be the king. But Saul was making himself believe this, and that's part of how Saul convinced himself it was okay to be against David. So injustice is happening here, and it continues to boil. Let's look over in, now, best I can figure, I believe there were seven different occasions that that Saul sought to kill David. Here in chapter 24, we read of one, and it's in Gedi, as we begin to read in chapter 24, verse number 1, "It came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, it was told him, saying, behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheep goats by the way, where was a cave. And Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee." Notice that statement, "that thou mayest do unto him as it shall seem good unto thee." See, here's one of the things we can do with injustice. We can try to fix it our way. We can try to do it the way our heart wants to. But is that really the way that we're supposed to handle the injustices of life? He goes on to say this, "Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord." What are you saying? Notice how David handled this matter. First of all, he could have rose up and slew him right there on the spot. I mean, after all, he was already anointed the king. After all, he could be the king, even though Saul was still in the kingship. But how did he handle the injustice of authority? Well, he just did something real small, like cut the hem of his garment, and then his heart smote him. Maybe kind of like when we say something and stand up against the authority in our life, just in word. Does our heart smite us when we do that? Boy, it ought to. If our heart's right with the Lord, if we're where we should be. David was a man after God's own heart. When he stood up against authority, his heart smote him that he did that. We can go on and we can read just two chapters later in 1 Samuel chapter 26. This is the final time that Saul's after him, but David had no idea it would be the last time. It says in verse number 7, "So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground in his bolster. But Abner and the people lay round about him. Then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy in thine hand this day." Here you go, second time Abishai said this to him. Now notice what he says this time though. "Now therefore, let me smite him, I pray thee." Okay, David, I know you're not going to do it. Just let me do it then. Let me handle this situation for you. "Let me smite him, I pray thee, and with the spear even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time." And David said to Abishai, "Destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?" David said, "Furthermore, as the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend in battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. But I pray thee, take now the spear that is at his bolster and the cruse of water, and let us go." Here's what David said. "You know what? I'm not lifting my hand up against the Lord's anointed. I'm not going to stand up against authority. I'm going to leave it in God's hands and let God take care of it." Amen. What a novel thing to do, a biblical thing to do. Let's look over in Romans chapter 13, if you would. We better remind ourselves these things. Romans chapter 13. How do we handle the injustice of authority? Whether it be at your workplace. Come on now. How many of you have been treated unjustly by authority in your life and workplace and other things? My hands go up too. I mean treated wicked. I mean cussed out. I mean set up to fall. I mean, treated unjustly, yes, but how do we handle it when it comes into our life? Do we handle it the way David, a man after God's own heart, did, or do we handle it the way we want to? Now, by the way, David could have handled it at any point in time, any of these situations he could have taken into his own hands. Any one of them he could have, but he didn't. Romans chapter 13, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. I know you're sitting here thinking, how in the world, why would God ever give me the boss that I have? Why would he ever put somebody in authority over me like that? God did it. It says, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. If we resist them, we're resisting God's ordinance. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnations. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon them that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. What's he saying? If God's put somebody in authority, then we're supposed to respect that. Amen. How about over in 1 Peter chapter 2? 1 Peter chapter 2. I know it goes against the grain. Goes against the grain of the flesh. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, notice what it says here. Beginning in verse number 18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. But for what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Notice, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Even Jesus Christ practiced that. What? That he submitted to the authority that was in his life, that he treated it right, that he left it in God's hands for God to take care of it. Could Jesus have taken care of any of those injustices? Absolutely he could have. But he left it to God. It's the same pattern that David followed. Amen. Can I remind you also of in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 17, a recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Why do we think that we can get back at somebody better than God can? If somebody treats us unjustly, do we not believe that God sees that? Do we not believe that God will take care of that? That God will stand on our part because of that? Even if the situation goes the way that we look at it and say it doesn't seem like God intervened, God's trying to teach us something. Amen. What are you saying? The way that David handled the injustices of life, I believe, are one of the reasons why he was a man after God's own heart. The first one was authority, how he dealt with authority. He left it in God's hands. He let God take care of it, and God did take care of it. Amen. God removed Saul out of the way, and he had no blood on his hands because of it. Amen. How about this one? Let's look over in 1 Samuel 25. 1 Samuel 25. Second one. Now, this one is someone who would be a subordinate, someone that would be under him, but had disrespected him. And we don't have time to read down through the whole passage of scripture. But in 1 Samuel chapter 25, we see the story of Nabal and his wife Abigail. And what happened was that David had sent his men to, they were in the land and they helped protect Nabal's possessions and his flocks and herds and all that. But what happened was he didn't treat the servants of David very good. As a matter of fact, he just mocked them and said, "Who's David?" There's a lot of people that say that they're over people nowadays. Why should I do anything to bless these or help these people? And here it says in verse number 21, it says, "Now David had said, 'Surely in vain have I kept all this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him. And he hath requited me evil for good. So and more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave of all that pertained to him by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall.' And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, 'Upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be. Let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid.'" Now let me just stop for a second and say that David was about to mess up here. What do you mean? He was about to take it into his own hands and he was about to take vengeance upon this guy because he had treated his men unjustly. But notice what happens. Abigail goes on, "Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial." She calls her husband a man of the devil. "Even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee, the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand. Now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul, but the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God, and the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as of out of the middle of a sling." Now skip down to verse 32 and notice this. "And David said to Abigail, 'Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice. And blessed be thou which hath kept me this day from coming to shed blood, from avenging myself with mine own hand.'" Whoa. You mean David listened to a woman? Yeah, he sure did. As a matter of fact, that woman gave him some really good advice. That woman helped keep him back from doing something that he shouldn't have done, taking vengeance himself. So what did David end up doing? Well, if you continue to read on down, David backed away, David let go of it, and he left it in God's hands, just like he did with authority. And guess what ended up happening? Within 24 hours, this man was dead. What are you saying? I'm just saying, why is it that we think that we have to fight the battles of injustice in our life? Amen. You say, "Wait a minute, Brother Martin, that doesn't sound right," because it goes against who we are. But if we really want to be godly, and if we want to be Christ-like, and if we want to be men and women after God's own heart, then the way that we should handle all injustice is just leave it to God. Amen. I got one amen on that. Praise the Lord for that. You and I both know it's true. How are we handling the injustices that come into our life? With authority? Hey, with somebody that's a subordinate to us? Well, bless God, this person's underneath me. They should listen to me. They should, okay, go ahead. Be a dictator. Go ahead and go after people. See where it ends up getting you. Amen. How about the third one? Boy, this is a tough one. 2 Samuel 13. Who's that? How about how David handled the injustice of a son, a family member, a son that treated him unjustly? 2 Samuel chapter 13. Look at verse number 30. It says, "It came to pass while they were in the way that tidings came to David saying, 'Absalom hath slain all the king's sons and there is not one of them left.' Then the king arose and tore his garments and lay on the earth, and all his servants stood by with their clothes rent. And Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, answered and said, "Let not my lord suppose that they have slain all the young men, the king's sons, for Amnon only is dead. For by appointment of Absalom, this had been determined from the day that he forced his sister Tamar." So you remember the story when he raped his sister, and how that from that moment on, it was Absalom's full blood sister. Absalom decided in his heart from that moment on that he was going to get back at him. Can I say it's a dangerous thing for us to set in our mind and heart that we're going to get back at somebody, especially a family member? Why would we go after a family member? They did something wicked. They did something. Well, God can take care of that too. Amen. We don't have to lift our hand up. Why? God's promised he'll do that. If we want to be a man after God's own heart, a lady after God's own heart, let's leave it in the Lord's hands. Amen. We continue on over in 2 Samuel chapter 15. Notice what it says here, verse number 1. "Came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man came that had a controversy, came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, 'Of what city art thou?' And he said, 'Thy servant is one of the tribes of Israel.' And Absalom said unto him, 'See, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee.' Absalom said, 'Moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, and that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice.' And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. And on this manner did Absalom to all the people that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel." So first of all, Absalom kills his half-brother. Then Absalom goes forward to stand up against his dad and to steal the hearts of all the children of Israel. Talk about injustice from a family member. So how are you going to handle the injustice of a family member? It goes on to say this. It says verse number 13, it says, and there came a messenger to David saying, "The hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, 'Arise, let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us and smite the city with the edge of the sword.'" Now, wait a minute. He was the king. Now, wait a minute. He could have stood there. He could have fought against it. But he didn't. You know, some people could look at this and say, man, David was pretty weak in some areas. In our weakness is when the Lord is strong. And in his weakness, he allowed the Lord to be strong and the Lord to take care of these situations. When we go on and continue to read the story, you know what happens next. In 2 Samuel chapter 18, we read in verse number 1, it says, "And David numbered the people that were with him and set captains of thousands, captains of hundreds over them. And David sent forth the third part of the people under the hand of Joab, and third part under the hand of Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, and Joab's brother, and a third part under the hand of Ittai the Gittite. And the king said unto the people, 'I will surely go forth with you by myself also.' But the people answered, 'Thou shalt not go forth, for if we flee away, they will not care for us. Neither if half of us die, will they care for us. But now thou art worth 10,000 of us. Therefore now it is better that thou securest out of the city.' And the king said unto them, 'What seemeth you best, I will do.' And the king stood by the gate side, and all the people came out by hundreds and by thousands." So the king stood back and he let the battle go on. He let it rage. You know what happens that day. You know Joab slays Absalom that day. The king went on and said in verse number 5, he said to Joab and Abishai and Ittai, saying, "Deal gently for my sake with the young man, even with Absalom." So be careful how you handle him. Of course, Joab had it in his heart he was going to kill him, and he did. But as we continue on down at the end of the chapter, it says this in verse number 32 of chapter 18. It says, "And the king said unto Cushi, 'Is the young man Absalom safe?' And Cushi answered, 'The enemies of my lord the king and all that rise against thee, do thee hurt, be as that young man is.' And the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, 'O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son.'" How did he handle the injustice of a family member? He left it to God. How did he handle the injustice of authority? He left it to God. How did he handle the injustice of subordinates or people that should have been in subjection to him? He left it in God's hands. Oh, that's weak. Really? A man after God's own heart. I think it's a pattern that we should follow in our life too. A man after God's own heart lets God take care of things. Amen. We don't take it into our own hands to try to do what we want to do. And I don't really have time to deal with the other one. The other one was simply this. How do you deal with somebody that's a peer or somebody that would be a friend who is who disrespects or treats us unjustly? I was going to turn to David with Shimei. If you remember Shimei was a family member of Saul's, if you would. And so Shimei came out and began to curse David and began to throw rocks at David. Let's just turn to the first scripture there, 2 Samuel chapter 16, turn back. And now this is when David is on the run from Absalom. And chapter 16 and verse number 5, it says this. It says, "And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, there came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. And he came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and at all the servants of the king David and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left hand. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, 'Come out, thou bloody man and thou man of Belial.'" He called him a man of the devil. It said, "The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man." It says in verse 9, "Then said Abishai," here goes Abishai again, "the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, 'Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head." He knew David wasn't going to do it. "Let me go over and take off his head." It says, "And the king said, 'What have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord has said unto him, Curse David. Who shall then say, Wherefore hast thou done so?' David said unto Abishai and all his servants, 'Behold, my son, which came forth in my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone, let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him." Then he goes on to say it may be that the Lord, it talks about how the Lord would look on his affliction. And you know what he was doing? He was trusting in God to handle the situation. Verse 12, "It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day." That's exactly what happened. If you know the rest of the story here, that what ends up happening is Shimei ends up losing his life after David is off the scene, but Shimei ends up losing his life because of what he did here, and because God doesn't forget. Amen. You think, well, God's overlooked that. God didn't overlook anything. God knows everything. He's seeing everything. He's the way Shimei treated him here. David could have stood up and David could have wiped him out right on the spot there, but he said, "You know what? God told him to curse me." I was handling a situation up at the church that I was at before I came here. And when I started to help preachers start the Bible college. And it was amongst two staff members in the college there. And one staff member was really upset at another staff member because he had said something and made some accusations. And this other staff member said it's a bunch of lies. And man, he was going to go after him. And he was going to, man, I had to set him down and try to calm him down. And I used this passage of scripture. I said, "Have you ever stopped to think that maybe God's trying to tell you something through this? Have you ever stopped to think if there was any bit of truth in what he had said or what he had done? Maybe the Lord's trying to teach you something through this." What are you saying? I try to face these things like this in my life. When somebody says or does something, I try to stop for a minute and say, "Okay, God, are you trying to teach me something? Did you have this happen because there's something that I need to see? God, is there any truth to what's going on here?" You know, it would change everything around in our life if we approached it that way rather than automatically trying to get back at somebody. Amen. It would change our families. It would change our homes. Amen. If we dealt with things the way David dealt with them. What? The injustices. Injustice happens. It's a part of life. We're all going to go through it. But how we handle it proves whether or not we're a person after God's own heart, a man or a woman after God's own heart. I'll close with this right here. you will handle the situation of injustice depending on who you want people to see. What do you mean by that, Brother Martin? If you handle it yourself, it's because you want people to see you. If you let God take care of it, it's because you want people to see the Lord.
Amen.
How are you going to handle it? Heads bowed, eyes closed.